Well, it's been 4 months, so it's time for Vindanity. Yeah! We are back. It is time for football season. I'm certainly not going to promise that we'll be doing weekly shows like we have in, well, I guess we didn't even do that last year, but multiple seasons ago. That's probably not realistic, but we do mainly end up talking about football. It is football season. We are once again talking. It has been since May. There's been a lot that's happened. Vince has had quite the summer.
Yeah.
He's now an engaged man. Off the market. We are not probably going to get to Timberwolves on this podcast. Maybe we will at some point. They've had a draft since then. And I know their two draft picks kind of factored into your big night.
Oh, they were. Yeah, they were a big part of it.
They were present.
Saw them on the big night, Josh Okogie and Kade Bates Jopp, and Timberwolves will be getting in about a month or so. Vince, also, we're recording this today because leaving for France.
Just
be a European travel.
Couple months.
Going, getting engaged, hightailing it around Europe. It's been a good couple of months for Vince, and I know you've been going out to France. You got your whole trip planned. A lot of exciting things that are going to happen, I'm sure. You've been doing all the online travel. Biggest question we've got to ask, though, have you come up with a bar where you're going to watch these first couple Vikings games?
I have not. I'm thinking, so I'll be watching the first one in the Netherlands, where I'll be joined by fellow St. Thomas Academy alum John Schlafer.
Whoa!
So I'm hoping he knows of the bar.
You know, we could give you our brand new DirecTV Now credentials.
Ooh.
And you could watch it overseas.
We don't want to get kicked
off. No, we don't want to do
a couple weeks of getting the service.
Yes.
Sponsored by DirecTV.
Not sponsored.
I love how that idea got checked out.
Did not last long.
But anyways, you will be attempting, I'm sure, to watch the games, and it's a very exciting time to be a Vikings fan. Unfamiliar territory when reading, listening to various preview-related content for the NFL. Vikings are pretty trendy and, by normally reliable people, pick as a Super Bowl contender. Not usual for this team.
It's weird.
It is weird. I still, yeah, it's almost like you feel... That almost makes me less trustworthy, though. Just because I like it better when they're a little under the radar. Like
it certainly is the DNA of I guess the Vikings fan, Minnesota fans in general. It kind of makes you nervous. I mean, I was thinking about it in my lifetime. Certainly, I don't know, you know, what the predictions were back in the glory days, the true football days of Bud Grant. But I don't think in my lifetime the expectations ever been this high for a Vikings team.
No.
Yeah, I think probably the closest was maybe. Like, maybe the 99 team?
Coming
like
off 15-1. I'm trying to remember, because that was...
Because the 15-1 team, I don't think, was super anticipated. It was kind of Moss.
Yeah, I mean, that was Moss's rookie year. No one realized he was going to be as good as he was. 99, I feel like there was excitement, but there was maybe just such a hangover from that Falcons loss that it got lost. That would probably be the closest to it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, they had the Favre year where they made it, but... There was a lot of uncertainty with Favre that year, and then that never seemed particularly sustainable. But, you know, the expectations make sense. We'll obviously see how it plays out. The NFC, a very difficult conference, but, you know, they come kind of out of nowhere. I think we felt we were being optimistic last year, pegging them for 9-10 wins at the beginning of the season. They obviously end up going 13-3, one of the better seasons in franchise history. They have a very weird quarterback situation for a team... coming off a season like that, they end up letting all three of their quarterbacks go. You bring in Kirk Cousins, who we feel like is probably an upgrade. They add Sheldon Richardson to the defense. Mike Hughes, they're pretty high on as a first-round pick, so they've made some add-ons. They've brought essentially everybody back, and you can certainly understand the logic why people would be considering them a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they should be right in the mix. Like, the only area they're not, like, really rock solid is on the offensive line. And that's, like, really the, you know, if they can just patchwork that together again, like they kind of did last year, they'll be in really good shape.
You know what I thought was interesting with the, talking about the weirdness of the quarterback situation, when you look at analysis so far this year about the Eagles, and you say, like, what are they going to look like this year if Carson Wentz is back? You know, because, like, they won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. It's like, well, the Vikings almost went to a Super Bowl with Case Keenum. Mm-hmm. And I think, I would say most people are saying Kirk Cousins is a step up above Case Keenum.
I think most people have gotten on board with that now. There was a little bit of in the immediate aftermath of it. Are we sure he's better? And I think as people have gone deeper into what Cousins did in Washington with not a great supporting cast, you know, realizing that some of the things Keenum was doing maybe weren't totally sustainable. I think it's, you know, we broke down the Cousins thing a while ago. I think, you know, like what we said at the time, it basically comes down to, I don't know that you can anticipate Cousins improving on Keenum's year from last year to a great degree, but that he's probably a better bet to continue playing at around that level than Keenum would have been.
Yeah, and I think, like we said, I don't think anybody was saying, I forget what their over was last season, but no one was saying 13 wins.
No, we were, I think our guesses were like 9 or 10
wins. Yeah, that was
and that was before, like, Bradford getting, like, I think if we talk, like, if we listened to the week after when, you know, like, we realized we were going to be stuck with Keenum for a while, I think we were pretty...
Yeah. But
it was such a weird start to the season because they won that New Orleans game and
looked
great.
So good. Like, and then that New Orleans game still makes me wonder if Bradford had stayed healthy.
Yeah. And
what that season, you know.
Bradford didn't even really get hurt during that game. That comes out kind of in the week leading up to Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
you find out it's
so
Keenum.
Weird.
They don't look great against the Steelers. And then, yeah, Keenum ended up being great the next week against Tampa, and it kind of took off from there. The low point was that week 4 when they lost to the Lions and Dalvin Cook got hurt, and that's when you really thought they were in trouble.
But. Yeah, that's the weird thing, and that's kind of where some of my excitement is coming from. And it is nerve-wracking because you're looking ahead of a full season, and it's like, okay, like, who's going to be the person that gets hurt, and like, where are like the weird losses going to come in and all this stuff? But if you just think about last season's excitement with Bradford starting and Dalvin Cook starting, you lose both of those, and you still go to the NFC Championship. It's like, okay, Dalvin Cook is healthy, and Kirk Cousins is it. Like, I feel so much better about that than I would have about Latavius Murray and Case Keenum.
Mm-hmm. And it does just seem like, you know, I think you can certainly make the case at this point they have the best ownership front office group of any of the Minnesota teams, and you know, you see the moves Rick Spielman has continued to make, and even, you know, you talked about the offensive line, and we'll maybe get to that later. It's still certainly a concern, but you know, he makes a kind of under the radar move to bring in Brent Jones, who I admittedly had not heard much about prior to them bringing him in, but he started 12 games for the Giants last year, and they got him for a 7th round pick. Not bad for a fill in at center. I'm not, you know, you don't expect him to be a Pro Bowler or anything, but it adds to their depth, and hopefully they can get Pat Elflein back. He just seems to have a very good sense of the moves he needs to make. They're obviously being aggressive, trying to go for it right now, and still find, you know, it's helped that the salary cap goes up every year. But I think that was the concern when they signed Cousins. Oh, they're not going to be able to make any other moves. They're going to have to let people go. But the way they've been able to manage the cap, I mean, they've re-signed Danielle Hunter, Eric Kendricks, Stephon Diggs. They've still been able to bring some other people in, and they have a very good sense of the roster, and I think the one weakness prior to this year you could point to for Spielman was at quarterback, some of the decisions he's made. And, you know, Bridgewater obviously had the injuries. You can't put that on him. He might have turned out well, but certainly, you know, the Christian Ponder move was not good. I wasn't a fan of trading the first-round pick for Sam Bradford, even though that was a desperate situation. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out with Cousins over the course of the year, but he has certainly done something that at least seems logical this time around.
Yeah, I think it's the first time that, like, that the Vikings have made, like, a sustainable, they've really gotten, like, the sustainable quarterback that you can kind of count on. And so, it's just, but yeah, going back to the Vikings being better run than everybody else in this town, it's pretty crazy. Like,
it's just, like,
close.
So far and away. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, like, I think there was like a honeymoon period with like the Wild, you know, where everybody was thinking the Wild were the best run, and it just is always like, it just really does seem like the Vikings are the only one that are even like respectable at times.
Well, they finally got a stable ownership situation. I mean, I know, you know, and we getting a little off course here, but the Wolves certainly, you know, made some people frustrated around the time of getting the stadium built, and their tactics weren't always my favorite, but they've spent money and they've kind of stayed out of the way, and it does, you know, look at the Poleds, you look at Glenn Taylor, you look at Craig Leopold, that hasn't always been characteristics of their ownership, so. But yeah, it certainly worked out well, and, it does definitely seem like a sustainable roster. I guess, you know, you've seen them play in preseason games, and it's always tough to get too much of a read from that. If has that changed your perceptions at all, kind of seeing what they've done over the first three preseason games, playing the fourth as we record here, but obviously the regular player is not really playing in that one?
I think it's made me more confident going into the season that they're not going to... Because, you know, I was a little worried about, like, not I was thinking this would be a low-chance thing, but, like, what if, you know, Cousins got here and just sucked?
Does not know what to do.
What the heck's a football?
He just, you know, for whatever reason, just regresses or, you know, something weird happens and he never... And that wasn't the case. I mean, he was making really good throws on his very first drive in the preseason. And so I think that's really allowed my confidence level to increase. And then, like, and Diggs has looked like, you know, he's always been pretty good. But I think he looks, like, elite. And it is preseason, so I'm not trying to get too excited. But that was a big, you know, that was a big contract.
I think we can get a little excited.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you dive deeper into Diggs' numbers, he has, you know, been better than maybe just his raw catch and yards totals. He's had some kind of nagging injuries over his past couple seasons that have maybe dragged those numbers down a little bit. But in terms of efficiency, he's been great his entire time as a Viking. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, you look at it, and certainly they're going to be built around the defense again, the receiver duo, working Dalvin Cook back into the mix. You know, the schedule definitely does get harder. They're playing all three of, and, you know, you figure some of these teams will probably drop down, but they're playing the Saints, they're playing the Eagles as their extra games. Packers are obviously, I mean, that is the thing you do have to mention, and then drastically exceeding their win total is Aaron Rodgers does go down with a broken collarbone in that first game against the Vikings, and it's probably a different looking division if he plays the entire year. He's back healthy, but yeah, it does, you know, seem like they've fortified the roster to potentially deal with a tougher schedule.
Yeah, I think kind of, I believe we talked a little bit about this last time, but I think it will be hard for them to exceed their win total, but I think this will be a more, you know, it's still going to be, they're going to get some very sustainable wins that, and it's not that they didn't have sustainable wins last year, but they...
Well it's just, I think you kind of have to weather the storm early.
Yeah.
You look at their schedule, because there's going to be a lot of pressure on them. The expectations are certainly high. Cousins is going to be under a microscope. And you do look at how they start home against San Francisco. I mean, don't exactly know what the 49ers are going to be, but they're getting some buzz. It's certainly a game they have to win. And then you do have three very tough road games in the first five, playing at Green Bay, and then that back-to-back where they play at the Rams and at the Eagles. You get a home game against Buffalo mixed in there that, you know, you would think they could put in the win column. But that's, you know, that's not inconceivable that they could be 2-3 after that stretch.
Yeah.
And so then it just, you know, comes down to, can they do better than that? Can they exceed that? And if they do go 2-3 or something, can they kind of weather that storm? But the schedule does get a lot easier down the stretch. I think
their
last three, they play like Detroit, Miami, Chicago.
Yeah.
And you don't know, again, you don't know exactly how those things are going to play out. But
so,
it does seem like if they can get through that early stretch, they'll be in pretty good shape.
When we do the predictors for the season, go through and try to pick every game and see what record you come up with. So I came up with records. The first time I went through, I had them at 12-4, and the second time I had them at 11-5. And that 11-5 came with them starting the year at 2-3. So I guess I don't know what that does to, like, a team's mindset, having a 2-3 record with all that hype. And it's like, are you serious? We're below 500 and we had all these expectations. I don't know if they're able to big picture it enough to say, guys, we this is the hard part of our schedule, and now we're going to be banking up wins. If they can keep their confidence up through that, if that's enough to kind of...
I think probably the key in that is Cousins and how it's looking for him. If they're 2-3 with Cousins having thrown 8 interceptions in the first 5 games or something, then can he kind of stay on track? But they do have the infrastructure. I mean, it's a... I think maybe you worry about that a little more with a team like the Rams, who just brought in a ton of new players and don't, you know, have a lot of experience with each other, maybe some questionable chemistry guys. Vikings seem to have a pretty good locker room, and they've all been together for a while, so you would think if anyone could get through that, it would be them. I mean, you do worry a little bit, you know, 2 years ago when things started to go poorly, it did kind of seem to unravel about under Zimmer, and I've always wondered what his style, how that plays if things aren't going well. That you know, could potentially be a problem, but I think if anybody could get through a tough start, it would be a team set up like them.
Was during that last stretch where they were really struggling, was that when Zimmer made the t-shirts? Was that when that started happening?
I think that was the year they ended up winning the division. That was, they made the t-shirts because they won the division, but that was when they lost. That was when they were still playing at TCF, and they lost to the Packers at home. He made the t-shirts for the Packer game.
Yeah.
But they did rebound from that.
Okay.
So I'm thinking of the year when Norv Turner quit, and Zimmer was kind of, it seemed like the offense was coming apart. He was kind of throwing players under the bus. That's why we were a little down on them coming into last year.
Punched in the eye.
Yeah,
Norv Turner his way out.
We thought that, you know, the locker room might kind of turn on Zimmer, but obviously that didn't happen. So that was, you know, I guess... I don't think John DeFilippo is going to quit or anything like that.
No.
We won't get to that.
That was the other thing that I was going to say about this, is that I think if you look at, and we, I mean, they do have a hard beginning part of the schedule, and it does get a lot easier at the end, and then it's just going to be about what can they do in the middle there. But, like, are we looking now... There's all these expectations that we've been getting excited about the team, and we're looking now and we're saying we're concerned about the O-line, and then, I mean, I guess the kicker, too, just because he's new and we don't know much about him, and they've just gotten burned by kickers in the past, so I guess that's always a little bit of a concern. But is the O-line, just take a step back, is this a legitimate concern, or is it just that there's really not that many other things to be concerned about?
I think it's the weakest part of their roster. So you have to be concerned for that. And certainly, if you want to have a high-powered passing attack, Kirk Cousins needs to have some time to throw. I think, you know, their line improved in numbers-wise last year, but I think Keenum probably deserves some credit for that. He was pretty good at moving around in the pocket, buying time. And that's not quite as much Cousins' game. They'll probably have to utilize play action, I think, with the new system under DeFilippo. Maybe they'll do a little more of the
read
option.
RPOs.
But so maybe that'll help out a little bit. I guess, you know, the thing you would say in their favor for that is offensive line play, just as in the league as a whole, just is not very strong. It's very hard to find good linemen right now, so you can point to a lot of teams and say their line is in danger of not holding up. So
yeah,
that's probably how you justify it. I think for them, they just have to hope they can get Pat Elflein back at some point. Mike Remmers seems to be back healthy, and just do enough, be a good run blocking line, and set up their offense in such a way that you're not having Kirk Cousins stand back in the pocket forever. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the obvious concern people have. There's the obvious concern about, you know, how Kirk Cousins ingratiates into the offense. I think, you know, the main storyline has been you're going into a year with a new quarterback, a new offensive coordinator. How does that work? So those are certainly things that have been well covered. Is there anything else that's kind of standing out to you that you think could maybe submarine the season?
I mean, like I said, just the kicker. And I know that can't submarine a season, but it's just... I don't know if you guys know this, but I never played professional football. I don't know what it's like to have a team that has a shitty kicker, and it's like defense is grinding it out, offense finally makes it downfield, and then the kicker misses a 25-yard field goal. That has to kind of deflate the balloon a little bit, right?
Well, I would think it feels like how Vince felt at the end of that Seahawks playoff game when Vince was like prone on the ground after Blair Walsh missed a 28-yard field goal. So.
Yeah,
but I mean, is that one of those things though where I would have to? I mean, I know none of us know the answer, but I would have to imagine that's one of those things where, like, God damn it, like that could really just,
I mean,
take it out of you.
It can, in extreme cases, ruin a season. I mean, I think people have talked about that with the Chargers last year. They just missed the playoffs and lost a bunch of games early when their kicker missed field goals. So if you're playing a lot of close games and you can't make field goals, certainly that's going to be a problem. But, yeah,
missed a lot of extra points, which is always very frustrating.
I guess for me, with Carlson, he was good in college. You don't know. I mean, there have been plenty of good college kickers where it hasn't translated. I'm just not, I don't know with kickers. I've given up trying to predict them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he's going to be good or bad based on missing a couple in the preseason. Maybe that becomes a problem. Maybe he just had an off night. For me, kickers, it's like hockey goalies or something like that. I just,
starting pitchers,
you don't really know what they're going to do from one year to the next. But I do have a couple other things. I mean, if it's maybe just me being cautious Vikings fan, but I think, you know, look, they were playing very good teams. It's a little concerning to me that the second half of the Saints game in the playoffs last year, the entire Eagles game, their defense got lit up. Drew Brees did whatever he wanted the second half of that game. They were able to survive. Nick Foles picked them apart.
Yeah.
I know there have been quotes from Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman saying Zimmer spent all summer going to school on RPOs. He wants to make adjustments. But, you know, it's something I think to keep an eye on if there's something on tape with their defense. I certainly have faith in Zimmer as a defensive mind to potentially get things corrected. But, I think you have to see if offensive coaches can make adjustments to their scheme and if they found something against them.
Yeah, that was a really – that is something that has – I haven't thought about it in a while, but it is something that, like, really concerned me after it happened was – especially like the Saints game, you know, just where they really, really tore them apart. And then like the Eagles game, I just think was very weird overall. And just, it did make me think, like, did
it is like six
quarters
quarters where their defense looked terrible.
And it's
the last time
we've seen
that. Yeah. And their identity is their defense.
Yeah.
I guess what I would say for it is, if Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, the first couple drives a week from Sunday, Jimmy Garoppolo marches it down the field for the 49ers. If that hadn't happened in the playoffs, I might just say, okay, a little fluky, just rough start, they'll bounce back. If it happens in the first game, it's going to make me nervous a little more quickly than it might otherwise.
I'll be real with you guys. I know this, you know, it is just the one game. If they lose to the 49ers, I'm officially concerned. They should not lose to the 49ers. I don't care how much Jimmy G hype there is. I guess with the defense, I understand the concern, I guess, but like I don't know. I'm just trying to think of examples from the regular season where the defense looked like crap.
They have a lot of talent. You just, you know, coaches are constantly adjusting, and it would come down to if Zimmer can adjust back. I think, you know, in the preseason, it was only three plays against Denver. They looked good. They had some trouble with screen passes against Jacksonville when the first team defense was out there, got burned on those. I thought they corrected it well, but Seattle kind of was good at attacking Sheldon Richardson with some draw plays. They got some big runs out of that in the last one. It does seem like, you know, teams have figured out their defensive line is going to be aggressive, and if you can either stop them or find a way with some short passes, you can kind of find some holes. You know, the linebackers looked a little better in the third game of covering those screen passes. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly that concern. And there's also the fact that they had almost no injuries on the defensive side of the ball last year, too. I mean, Everson Griffin, I think, missed one game. Anderson Dejo missed a couple. So, you know, you figure they could get banged up a little more on that side. But they do have decent depth. And, again, it's hard to really do a preview where you're talking about injuries because any team's going to be screwed if they get a bunch of injuries. But
I guess just when I was, like, thinking about things I was concerned about, initially the defense was not really one of them.
No. It's presumed to be the strength of the team. But I guess just given the way things ended last year, it's something on my radar. Only other thing, I mean, I guess I haven't been too concerned about, you know, going into what Kirk Cousins looked like in Washington, because I don't think he had the greatest supporting cast, but there definitely was a book on him. He either really built chemistry with a receiver, or it just didn't click at all. He just couldn't connect. And, you know, it manifested itself last year with Terrell Pryor, but there are definitely other receivers he couldn't quite get on the same page with. Again, can't overreact to the small sample size, but he's looked great throwing to Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been able to find Adam Thielen.
Yeah,
missed Adam Thielen when he's been open a couple times. Again, just something I'm filing away in the back of my mind,
yeah,
if he has trouble getting to Thielen in the first couple games.
And it's kind of the way he's missed Thielen that's been really annoying to me. And
especially that Seattle game. He was wide open a couple times. And
it just
poor throws.
Yeah, I just think, I think, like, he seems to miss high a lot when he does, which is...
Yeah, that's concerning.
For a lot of that's a lot of frustrating plays if you miss high, whereas I think, like, Keenum would probably tend to underthrow a lot more, which was, you know, worked really well when you have two great jump ball receivers, but you're going to get a lot of interceptions if you don't. But yeah, that's one thing I'm worried about with him is, does he have a tendency to overthrow a hair?
Yeah, it just would be nice to see him get on the same page with Thielen quickly, just given his history.
Yeah.
You know, but
so I guess this
we're picking nits.
These are nitpicks. But here's the other thing. I'm gonna rely on your guys' professional experience. In the preseason, I forget which game it was, but there are a couple of open field tackles that the defense missed. Kirk Cousins missing a couple wide open Thielens. I don't know. Are these guys, like, really going all out in the preseason? Are we getting, you know, them at their best in the preseason? Or are you going to lay up a little bit on that open field tackle so you don't break your ankle?
Probably.
You know what I mean?
I think a little bit, yeah. They're definitely trying to kind of get in the rhythm of things, I think. But, yeah, I mean, it's maybe 90% effort as opposed to 100%.
I think subconsciously they know.
I'm just wondering, is the mindset
a little aware?
Is the mindset, let me get absolutely right for this, or is it like, don't get hurt? I just wonder which mindset takes over.
Yeah, I'm sure
situations.
It depends on the player a little bit. But yeah, it's certainly a factor. I think for me, when I watch preseason games, it's just finding little things to kind of keep in mind and then seeing if they continue into the first couple games, and that becomes a concern. I mean, look, last year, everybody always wants to make a big thing out of the third preseason game because it's when the starters play the most. Last year, they were on NBC in the third preseason game, and they got embarrassed by the 49ers.
Yeah.
They went 13-3. The 49ers went 6-10. So, you know, it's not... You can't read too much into it. But, yeah, I think you can... You can just start to see how guys work together a little bit, and it's just things to kind of keep in mind for me more than anything else.
Yeah. I think the consensus is we're all pretty excited.
It's been a long time since we've had a team to be this excited about, so... Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like that's the mood around the city as a whole. It was definitely fun, you know, to see how excited everybody got leading up to the Eagles game last year, and obviously it didn't end well, but, you know, the momentum is carried from that, and the Vikings are the one team in this town that it does seem like when they're good, they can kind of unite even the casual people, the people that aren't going to watch sports that often. There's definitely a different buzz when they're good, so...
The other thing is, like, so you think back to the 8-8, 7-9, 9-7 seasons of the past. You get excited about the Packers game just because it's kind of what we have to do. Like, I'm going to be losing my mind during the Saints and Eagles games. Like, just when you have those, like, teams that you faced in when you're, like, super invested and crazy intense in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Even for a fan, it's like, oh, I hope we just beat the shit out of the Eagles. Which is, like, that's just so fun to, like, already be that amped up for that game.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, hey, if they go 8-8, talk to me at the end of the season. I'll be disappointed. But I think it certainly sets you up where, yeah, it it's terrible if they're bad when you get your expectations up high and all that, but I'll take a team with all kinds of talent that's worth, like, legitimately thinking about as a championship team. We've had plenty of years where, best case scenario, they were going to go 10-6 back into the playoffs. We've certainly, the other teams in this town have had plenty of seasons like that. So, it's fun. It's fun to read the preseason stuff and, you know, see how they stack up with all the other teams, find out how it all plays out. And I think you do certainly have to factor how good the NFC is, and they could have a very good year, go 11-5 and lose in the second round of the playoffs, and in a way that's going to feel like a step back. But, you know, they're in the mix in a very good conference, and it should be fun to see how it all plays out.
You know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to buy in to the hype. Because you know what? Last year, I tried to avoid it the whole season, and just whenever I'd start to get excited, I'd tell myself, they're not winning the Super Bowl. Stop it. They're not winning. And then you know what happened when they lost to the Eagles? I was super disappointed. So,
they're still
super tempering your expectations does nothing. You might as well just go all in.
It's true, because even if you are trying to temper your expectations, you still are on some level.
I just don't know, and again, watch them surprise me, but I legitimately don't know how many more, like, horrifying ways they can come up with to screw this up. I mean, you have the game where they're the heavy favorite, and they Gary Anderson misses the field goal. You have them getting beat 41-0, just straight up. You know, that was not fun. I studied for a biology final during the second half of that game. I mean, you have Brett Favre throwing the interception when they're in field goal range. You have Blair Walsh missing the very chip shot field goal. And now you have, you know, the greatest play in team history. We're all riding on cloud nine, and then they just get destroyed the next week.
Like, I don't know how many shit efforts.
I just don't know how many more ways this can go.
Well, and the crazy thing about that game is it started out really well. Like they
marched right down the field.
You and me almost broke each other's knees by jumping off the couch at the same time.
And then like Case Keenum throws an interception, and everybody just gave. It's like
throws an interception and. Still one of the more inexplicable interception returns for a touchdown. He was pinned on the sideline at, like, the 50 with, like, 10 guys around and somehow got a touchdown. Very strange. But
backbreaker.
Well.
It's a new year. It's a new mindset. New season. You are going to fit in. You're not going to fit out like Kevin Love. And, we'll see how the Vikings do. And it's going to be certainly fun to monitor. 49ers a week from Sunday. Vince will be in the Netherlands watching with John Schlaefer.
Let's try to check in once you get back. We'll get a little France talk.
I thought you were going to say we'll try to check in when he's in the
We'll call you from the Netherlands.
International podcast.
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch the game. Sorry, guys. It's been a lot of fun. Well, let's try to check in like a few weeks.
We will attempt to do that.
We'll talk to you next
Enjoy week. The first few games.